Now, Nancy Kane has done a lot of researching, thinking, and writing about periods of emergency and heightened fear. And in particular, she's focused on how great leaders act and respond during those times. Nancy is a historian and the James E. Robinson Chair of Business Administration at Harvard Business School. She's the author of Forged in Crisis, The Power of Courageous Leadership in Turbulent Times. Nancy, welcome back to Central Time.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Rob.
Thank you for being back with us. We've talked, of course, about Forged in Crisis. As we go through this coronavirus pandemic, what lessons from the past do you find your mind going right back to?
You know, a host of moments. There's lots about this crisis that's new, but there's a lot that has parallels in our history. So think about Abraham Lincoln in the crucible of the Civil War, Franklin Roosevelt, right, taking office in the midst of widespread, you know, financial panic and the prospect of the monetary system collapsing, Winston Churchill holding off fascism all alone, right, while Britain stood there as the last bulwark in 1940 and 41. And, you know, people like Diane Nash and, you know, Ella Baker, these women in the civil rights movement who just over and over and over again walked into crisis. And these people display a set of behaviors. They're not genetic codes. They're things we can all think about and employ that I think are important. Everything from get comfortable with ambiguity and chaos. Recognize you're not going to have a playbook here. You're going to navigate point to point and improvise and learn and make mistakes and then, you know, learn again and pivot. To, you know, you've got to address the fear of the people that follow you. This is as true for mothers and fathers and teachers as it is for, you know, Andrew Cuomo, who I think is emerging as a very, very impressive, courageous leader. To you're always moving between brutal honesty and credible hope. And that means presenting the facts and the actions that those facts lead us to day by day, and helping paint a picture of the future and pointing over and over to the collective resources we all have, you know, our resilience, our determination, our spirit of giving and unity, the resilience that people have to weather a crisis. So a host of things that are very, very relevant right now.
One fear I think that people in leadership positions have that comes up in the media is, are we talking about this as we present facts in a way that inspires panic? Do we need to steer clear of some of the worst facts out there because we don't want to panic people? Or do we need to get that truth out there and find other ways to prevent that kind of fear and panic from spreading?
So I think this is again about wisdom and deftness, right? It's both. You're going to tell the story, but you can't tell the story without pointing to what are the resources, and these are both practical, right? Practical, you know, 60,000 healthcare workers showing up in New York when Governor Cuomo says we need retired health workers, you know, the facts and our internal resources, right? We have the resilience. We have the conviction. You know, during 1940, the British government published, you know, posters and signs that said, you know, courage, determination, conviction, you know, laughter will get us through. And that was really important to stoking the fires of the British public away from panic and toward, you know, if God is our witness, we'll fight him on the beaches. So we need both, and we're not getting much of this latter, and not from the executive branch of the White House and not from the media, and that's important. We need it.
And you have made a big point as you talk about leadership, and you were starting to touch on this earlier. Leadership isn't just about world leaders or governors or corporate leaders, whatever. What should we all be thinking about in our own lives as we consider leadership in tough times?
Well, a couple of things for, you know, leading ourselves or, you know, leading each other here. One is, and this is, I think, particularly important for all kinds of folks that have young people or older people looking to them for guidance, people who are more prone to fear or have less experience with very difficult moments, and that is, how are you showing up every day? Right? Are you showing up panicking? Are you showing up frazzled? Are you showing up particularly anxious? Are you showing up scattered? Or are you finding ways to ground yourself and to, you know, show up with your, so to speak, your core muscles tightened and your shoulders back so that the people that need you to exemplify, right, some kind of courage and solidity are seeing that. This is really important in households, I think. A second thing I think that's really important is, you know, how are you organizing the days and the days of your people? So Shackleton, this Antarctic explorer that we talked about a year or so ago when we were talking about forests in crisis, he had a version of this problem: isolated people, lots of danger, lots of fear. And one of his most important prophylactics with fear, or tonics for diluting it, was to give all his men a routine. And it didn't vary every day of the week. It varied once a week. We shifted duties. We walked from 3 to 4. We walked around the iceberg for exercise. You know, from 5 to 7, we prepared dinner. From 7 to 8, we spent time together, not talking about the crisis, but telling stories or playing card games. So routine and physical order and I think physical labor, which are really important aspects of every household leading themselves in a productive, non-panicking way.
Talking to Nancy Kane, historian and author at Harvard Business School. She's the author of the book Forged in Crisis. We're looking at leadership in tough times, from world leaders to the rest of us, too. Nancy, as you look at leadership we're seeing today in the United States, maybe around the world, who do you see embracing some of the lessons of the past? Who do you see with some work to do?
Well, I'd certainly put Governor Cuomo, who is emerging as our kind of national leader now, right? Rachel Maddow, right, who with a very particular ideological pulpit said, you know, he's the president of the coronavirus. And I don't think that's far off. I'm not saying that as a political comment, but I don't think that's far off in terms of what he's demonstrating. Angela Merkel right away, right, I think went to the mat for her people to talk about, here's the significance of the crisis and here's the resources we're bringing to bear, not just medical, but also monetary and fiscal, right, to address the corollary of this crisis. Both those people, I think, are very important. I think Jay Inness, the governor of Washington, Gavin Newsom in California, we're now seeing a chapter of local, particularly state leaders, really stepping up with ingenuity, with this combination of honesty and credible hope, and with, you know, just a great amount of powerful, important, you know, step-by-step, point-by-point actions that are going to make an enormous difference, and then I would say lastly, are going to be with us for a long time. This is the defining experience of the next 30 years in this country. We will be remembered, as Lincoln said, in spite of ourselves, by how we act as individuals and as a society. And I think that is incredibly important for people to keep in mind as they look around and with their common sense and intuition and sense of humanity and decency evaluate our leaders.
I wanted to talk about something unique about this crisis. It's a case where all of us can make a difference, in effect, by doing nothing, by staying home. How do you rally people to be on board with this very important thing when it doesn't feel very heroic?
So I think again, here we've got an absence. We've got a hole in the leadership fabric at the top of the country. So, you know, Churchill was very specific. He gave everyone a job to do, kind of month by month, week by week, during the Battle of Britain. We need a job to do. We need national leaders, and including our state leaders, to be kind of more explicit about this every day, because regular, frequent communication from leaders is critical. Here's our job. You're going to stay in place. You're going to, within those parameters, see if there are ways of helping the most vulnerable, who are not only patients or victims of the disease, but also essential workers, from healthcare people to truck drivers to the folks in our grocery stores and pharmacies. And you're going to help try and do that, and you're not going to hoard, and you're going to use your innate strength, because we're going to get stronger here, to avoid mass panic, which can only destabilize all the other efforts to solve this crisis and get it under control.
This is emerging gradually, Nancy. There's still people out there who don't see it as a particularly big crisis, and then there's some places that are hard hit and you can't miss it. How do you make sure everybody is on the same page, given that we're experiencing this at different paces and with different, in some cases, partisan lenses?
Well, we are very handicapped by the lack of that kind of, you know, leadership and guidance and authority in the executive branch. And we don't have enough from Congress on this either, but particularly from that, the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, right? We don't have a president saying, look, this is a national crisis. We're going to get through it. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. And here's how we're going to do it. And here's what I need every citizen to do. We have nothing like that. So that is handicapping, right, the realization and therefore the right action on the part of many people right now who aren't living in a location hard hit by this, to do the right thing here and to know whether this is real or not. That's one of the many, many very destructive consequences of what's happening in the executive branch of the United States right now. Again, we will remember this, write about it, act from this knowledge for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, Nancy, you mentioned this is what we're going to look back on for years, probably decades. Give us a minute or so of advice on how to behave now in a way that we're going to look back on positively in 10, 20 years.
You know, many years ago, when my life was falling apart, that's what led me to write this book, a minister at Harvard, a non-denominational church, said, you know, in the midst of outer turmoil, we seek inner strength. And he gave a whole, you know, kind of set of sermons on this that he wrote in a white heat right after September 11th. And here's something that stuck with me on inner strength and how we will be remembered. Because crisis, I know this from studying it for 20 years, are great greenhouses for the making of our strength and our resilience and our compassion and our character. And for people who want to get better, here's what Peter Gomes was the minister's name, is what he said. He said, look, it is in the giving. If you're seeking inner strength, you will find empowerment and strength and a sense of resilience, not by what you can take, but by what you can give. And if you doubt this, my friends, he would boom in his, you know, sort of operatic voice, if you doubt this, just make an experiment. Just give to someone in some way, in whatever circumstances you can, and then witness what happens within you.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to historian Nancy Cain for joining us today. She's at Harvard Business School and the author of Forged in Crisis in Turbulent Times. She joined us for a look at what makes courageous, effective leaders in times of crisis, local or national.